In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. The funeral. Anthony and I were having our 11 o'clock coffee this morning when Anthony left the room to answer his phone. I poured a cup for Mr. Mullaney, and he and I discussed his progress in the garden and an idea I'd had regarding some old flagstones I recently happened upon whilst taking a stroll around a reclamation yard, something I like to do from time to time to kickstart my thoughts regarding home and garden adornment. Mr. Mullaney was just explaining to me about why there was such a notable discrepancy between patio heights in this part of London when Anthony returned from the hall. Everything all right?
Yes, well, no. Actually, my aunt's died.
Oh, no, which one?
Fiona, my maiden aunt.
Oh, dear.
Sorry for your trouble, Anthony.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say, Mr. Mullaney. Is there any more coffee in that one?
Oh, I'm afraid we just finished it.
Oh, it never rains.
Well, I'd better be... shall I just put this in the sink, or...
Just leave it on the side.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, Anthony.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, we weren't especially close.
Oh, I don't recall hearing you mention her all that often. Margate? Can that be right?
Yeah, Margate, yeah.
Is there a funeral? Will you be going?
Now, yes, it's on Wednesday.
Wednesday? That's quick.
Yes, isn't it? Yes. Well, perhaps she died before the weekend.
Did you ask?
No, I didn't. Look, I hope you don't mind. That was my sister who called.
I wondered why you left the room to take it.
Well, yes, she can be, rather. Anyway, look, I said that you would that you would do the food.
What?
I said that you would... Oh, come, look, you obviously heard me. That wasn't your... I'm sorry, can you repeat what you just said, what? That was the other one.
Why on earth did you say that?
Well, she didn't really ask me. She just told me that that's what would be happening.
Oh, why can't you stand up for yourself, Anthony?
Well, for myself. It's a funeral, Damien.
How do you even know that I haven't got anything on Wednesday?
Well, have you got anything on Wednesday?
No.
Well, there you are, then.
It's the principle of the thing, Anthony.
Well, I've got principles too, Damien. Do you know, one of them is that I always try to be helpful when it comes to funerals.
Really? How long has that been one of the tenets that you live your life by?
I just don't think it's a good idea to start arguments over funeral arrangements.
Well, you've started one now.
Well, no, I think you started it.
No, you started it, Anthony. You came in here and you basically said, I've told my sister that you would be doing the food at my maiden aunt's funeral. That was the start of the argument.
Well, no, there can't have been an argument then at that stage because only one of us had spoken.
Well, yes, I see what you're trying to say, but your question
but it
was
wasn't.
Basically...
It was a statement.
Well, your statement then, it was inflammatory. To claim that that was not part of the argument is equivalent to suggesting that, you know, Gavrilo Princip's assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand wasn't part of the First World War.
It's hardly equivalent.
Well, it's akin.
Well, perhaps, you know.
No, thank you.
Right, will you do the food, though?
All right.
Good, thank you. Very gracious of you.
My pleasure.
She wants you to make sandwiches.
Oh, what?
Yes, she wants sandwiches.
Sandwiches?
Well, that's a good thing. Surely, I mean, sandwiches are ever so easy to make.
I know they are, but why does it require me to make them?
Well, because she knows that you do food things, you know.
I'm a cookery writer.
Yes, I know what you do, Damien. Well, at least your job title. She thought it would be a nice touch to be able to say to people, these sandwiches were made by Damien Trench, you know. Well, I can make them if it's that much of a problem.
Well, not if your sister's telling people that they were made by me.
Yes.
If she's going to be telling people that they were made by me, then for the good of my reputation, I need the sandwiches to be the best that they can possibly be.
It's not a trade fair, Damien. It's a funeral.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know, if people remember this funeral solely for the quality of the catering afterwards rather than the quality of the service itself, then really we would have done my Aunt Fiona a disservice, really.
Yes, you know, I appreciate that, Anthony. I'm not being insensitive. A life has been lost. I will always be at the forefront of my thoughts while I'm preparing the food.
Well, that's a great comfort.
Although that food will not be sandwiches.
Well, what will it be, then?
Well, I don't know. I need to give it some thought. I do rather feel that this has been thrust upon me.
Well, if there's any consolation, I'll also be doing something. A song.
At the service? Oh, well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, for you, perhaps.
What will you be giving us?
No, I can't tell you.
Oh, come on.
No, we're not until you reveal what food you're planning.
Right, fine. Mini quiches.
No, I'm still not telling you.
Oh, that is incredibly unfair.
Well...
Well? Recipe. I didn't care for the manner in which Anthony had made me make a snap decision about what food I would have to do for what almost amounts as a snap funeral. But on reflection, I'm actually rather pleased with my improvised choice, and I think that I shall stick with it. On the day, I shall provide a choice of four, possibly five, if I attempt a gluten-free option. But for now, here is a great opener. Mini quiche Lorraine. For these, you will need... 11 ounces of flour, plain. 5 ounces of butter. Do not use margarine or you will end up weeping. 100 millilitres of water. 200 millilitres of milk. You know the type. 3 eggs. 2.5 ounces of cheddar cheese, grated. Half an onion, approx. A pair of cherry tomatoes, chopped into tiny pieces. A solitary bacon rasher, chopped into tiny pieces. And 3 or 4 mushrooms. Just choose your favourite type and then chop them into tiny pieces. First of all, preheat your oven. You want it to be about gas mark 5 or 190 degrees centigrade. If you're fan-assisted, I cannot help. Rub the flour and butter together in a large mixing bowl and make it all crummy. Then add the water and mix it together using a palette knife until you've made pastry. It really is that simple. Roll the pastry, always remembering to flour your surface, until it's thin, and then cut whatever size circles you'll need to fit your preferred miniature quiche moulds. Then push them in relatively snugly. Crack the eggs into the milk, beat delicately with a fork before adding your cheese. Put this to one side and then fry the bacon, the tomatoes, the onions and the mushrooms. Mix them all up together and put an equal quantity into each quiche mould before pouring the eggy, cheesy milk on top. It's important not to go crazy here, or ever, if at all possible. Then you just slide them into the middle of your already heated oven, and in a quarter of an hour they will be a delicious golden brown colour. Too exciting. Even in morning. March the 23rd, Monday. I've had, understandably, to put all other commitments on hold until after the funeral is over. Anthony's sister, with whom I have directly exchanged emails, reckons that 120 mourners would be realistic, and I cannot possibly cater on that scale and have time for much else, not without giving up my evenings. I've started drawing up recipes and calculating my quantities. This task, though not inconsiderable, is nonetheless manageable. But by my reckoning, it's not going to be possible to transport it all flat. And it does have to be transported flat. I can't risk the things banging up against each other in tubs in the Uno. Instead, we shall have to hire a larger vehicle. I was just reading up on wheat-free flour, oxymoronic as the notion would seem, when the phone did what it does.
Hello?
Hello, Damien. It's Ian.
Oh, hello. Ian, everything all right? Right. I'm actually a little busy myself. I've been forced to do the food for a funeral on Wednesday. Forced.
Somebody died? Anybody I know?
Not even anyone I know. An aunt of Anthony's.
I see. Well, that's a nice thing to do.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, I mean, I'm flattered to be asked. I didn't mean to be...
No, oh, no.
So is there anything I can do for you, Ian?
Well, I'm just ringing for someone to talk to, actually. It's a bit of a sensitive subject.
I see.
Michelle.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, Ian. Why?
Oh, he just felt it wasn't working out properly. It was a rather more gracious departure than Louise's, I'll give him that.
Yes, well, even so, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's a bit... it is a bit depressing, to be honest. He was my biggest name.
Yes, that doesn't sound great.
Of course, you understand, this Michelle thing, it's not about the money. It's about, well, you know, trust, understanding, loyalty, eh? Friendship. I even tried learning French.
Oh.
Completely impossible, of course. That's why they had to translate Les Mis.
Right.
My big fear, Damien, is Michelle's departure presaging some sort of avalanche.
An avalanche?
Of clients. Of panic-causing collapse in the Frobisher share price.
Well, I'm sure...
You're not thinking of leaving me, are you, Damien?
I'm not, Ian. No. No, far from it.
You trust me,
huh? Yes, of course, implicitly.
I don't mean to sound needy. I'm not needy.
No. Well, I can't bear neediness anyway. I mean, I would tell you if you were being needy.
Oh, good. Well, that's probably everything covered, I think. No point standing idle. I have a few other calls to make, actually.
Well, it's been nice to... Bye-bye. Oh, dear. I feel extremely sorry for Ian sometimes. I didn't dare ask Ian who Ihulowitz had left him for, but doubtless it'll be another one of the big guns and will have caused further pain. Speaking for myself, and who else would I be qualified to speak for, I have no intention of leaving Ian's roster of clients. He does a wonderful job for me, and personally I think of him as a good friend. He's done a lot to support me, and now I must do what I can to support him. I really don't want it to have any impact on this food, though. Cooking for large numbers in a domestic setting is quite difficult enough already, thank you very much, without one having to take on additional pastoral responsibilities. March the 25th, Wednesday.
Shall I plunge?
Please.
Oh, that wasn't all that smooth, was it?
Should I make another?
I expect we'll manage.
What a trooper.
Now, I really will need to have the kitchen to myself this morning. Is that okay? I've got an awful lot to do.
Yes, fine. In fact, Melanie and Stephen have to come through.
Yes, I realise that, Anthony, but they're not likely to be taking over any of the worktops, are they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, no, unless Mr. Melanie is thinking of doing teppanyaki for lunch.
Well, that seems unlikely.
Yes. I've got to sort out a backing track for my performance.
The tribute?
Well, either way.
Can I just run something by you? Bacon, leek and cheddar, spinach and mushroom, Lorraine, potato and chorizo, and a gluten-free with broccoli and tomato.
Right. Yes, they all sound... So how am I meant to be responding to that list?
They're the mini quiches I'm planning.
Oh, right, yes. Well, they all sound like... Well, they all sound like quiches. Chorizo and potato, they're a bit exotic, perhaps.
Hardly. I'm also going to do a salad.
Lovely.
Now, is there anything on that list that you think sounds in any way inappropriate for a funeral?
I'll get that. Morning, Mr. Mullaney.
Hello there.
Stephen here yet?
No, he's not there.
Morning, Mr. Trench.
Hello, Miss Mullaney.
Everything okay?
Largely. I was just saying to Anthony, I really will need the kitchen to myself for today. There's an awful lot to do. I'm cooking the entire selection of mini quiches that I've chosen for Anthony's aunt's funeral tomorrow today.
Okay.
Is that clear?
The kitchen part, certainly.
Great.
I mean, we've got to come through the kitchen, obviously.
Of course.
But we wouldn't be using the worktops.
You're sure there's a rumour that you were thinking of doing teppanyaki?
No, just soup.
Right. Anthony, you're yet to answer my question.
Hmm?
About the mini quiches.
Oh. What is your question?
You see what I have to put up with, Mr. Mullaney?
Well...
My question is, and you can help him answer this, actually, Mr. Mullaney, my question is this. Do either of you think that there is anything about bacon, leek, cheddar, spinach and mushroom, Lorraine, potato and chorizo, or gluten-free with broccoli and tomato quiches that would make them in any way inappropriate or inflammatory for service after a cremation? There's also going to be a leaf salad.
Oh, well, that's fine, then.
Well?
Damien, there is nothing inappropriate about any of those things, is there, Mr. Mullaney?
I think you're unlikely to cause any great controversy with that selection. It sounds delicious.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Might be a bit tricky for people to hold in their napkins.
Worry not, I'm providing high-quality paper plates.
Oh, well, you're in the clear. Sounds like a marvellous plan.
The only problem is the hire vehicle.
What hire vehicle?
Well, for the food.
You're not travelling with the food?
Well, no, we are. Well, we're going to be. We're going to need to be in the hire vehicle too. I mean, there's not space in the Uno, Anthony, for all the food. I mean, there's barely space for you.
Oh, why didn't you tell me this yesterday?
Because I was, I was worried about Ian.
For goodness sake, you just sort of said, I mean, it'll be all right you making these decisions if you were actually a driver, Damien. It'll be me that has to collect it and I need to rehearse, not to ring round and bustle all over the place.
Yeah, if it's just for the day, you could always borrow my van if you liked. You just have to sort the insurance
out. Mr. Mullaney, that would be very kind.
Oh, is it automatic?
No, it's a normal stick shift.
Well, the thing is, I've only got a licence to drive an automatic, really.
Really?
I said you should have learnt on a manual.
I don't think you're in any position to criticise, given that you can't drive at all.
Please, gents.
Sorry, Mr. Mullaney.
Look, where is this funeral?
Margate.
Right, well, why don't I drive you down? You and the food.
No. We couldn't possibly...
That is very kind of you, Mr. Mullaney.
You'll get behind on your work.
No, I can leave Steve to press on, bring down some paperwork, write up some estimates, something, you know.
Well, I mean, that's
extremely generous.
Yes, well, will there be enough seats?
Yeah, there are 3 seats in the front. If you've got more food than I can fit in the back of my van, you've probably made a mistake with their quantities.
You really don't mind?
Well, it's a funeral. You know, you do what you can, don't you?
I've always said that.
Oh, right then, I'll crack on.
What would we do without you, Mr. Mullaney?
Something unimaginably violent, I'd have thought.
Yes, possibly. What a godsend that man is. As soon as breakfast was over, I wiped down the surfaces and got cracking with the short crust. There's only so much flour, butter and salt that one can blend together by hand, obviously. So I had to make it up in batches. As for fillings, I must have earmarked every pan in the place. Right.
Damien.
I said no one can come into the kitchen.
Yes, I've got the phone for you. I'm amazed you didn't hear it.
I unplugged the one in here because I don't want to be disturbed.
Sorry, can I just squeeze through here?
Certainly.
Yeah. Yes, right, OK, but it's Ian. I've been talking to him for a little while now and... I think it's your turn.
Right, OK, fine. Let me just wipe my... Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Damien. Isn't Anthony a wonderful man?
He is, yes. I'm extremely, extremely lucky.
Oh, what a lovely couple you are. I mean, well, you bicker, of course, don't you? But then doesn't everybody? I know Louise and I do. Did have to do it through a lawyer now.
Yes, how are you, Ian?
Oh, I'm in pretty good form, I think. Having a day off, actually. I did go to the office earlier, but Josephine suggested that I didn't stay. Just had a bit of me time, you know? Do a bit of thinking.
Yes, that's very thoughtful of her. Where are you, Ian?
I've gone to Colchester Zoo, Damien. Have you been?
I've not, Ian, no.
Oh, I wish I'd known. I'd have dragged you along with me. Well, I'm not even dragged. I'm sure you'd have come only too willingly if you'd had a chance to look at one of their leaflets.
I see.
And there's a website. It's a good one, actually.
Right, I'm actually rather busy, Ian. I've got to make enough mini quiches to feed 120 people.
I was just sitting at Liverpool Street Station having a cold drink, and I thought I'd search my iPad for days out, and lo and behold, you... 46 minutes on the train, quick cab journey with a chap called Eric. He's a very nice man, actually, who sings in a function band, he says. It sounds fun, doesn't it?
Well...
And hey presto, here I am, Super Zoo.
Right, it sounds the perfect venue for a little calm reflection.
Absolutely, Damien. Room to breathe.
Ian, are you all right?
Yes. I just suddenly thought I'd been on this bench a little while now, so probably time to have a bit of a lie down on the
grass?
Path.
Are you sure you're okay, Ian?
Absolutely, Damien. I've already seen several monkeys. And once this call's over, and I've got both hands free, I shall embark on my third calippo of the morning.
Calippo?
Oh, I love it when you get to the bottom and you can slurp out all the juice.
I see.
Oh, it's just another reason why you should have come here, Damo.
I'm so sorry, and that was the oven. I'd love to hear more about you in the animal kingdom, but the pastry is at a crucial stage.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, the Cheeky Chimps Cafe calls. Lovely chatting. Arrivederci.
Unbelievable.
Well, Ian's mood today is very different from his mood yesterday, but I have to say, no less worrying. If Josephine is telling him not to come into the office, and Josephine is a lady who can put up with most things, then Ian must be in a very bad way indeed. Still, if he's going to be very up or very down, then I think I'd plump for the former. I do hope that he's thinking about asking for medical advice. I instinctively trust medicine, unlike my mother, for instance, who believed that most of life's ills could be just walked off until she had her hip problems. Melanie, Stephen and Anthony kept mercifully out of my way for the remainder of the day, and I heard, a little to my surprise, no more from Ian. March the 25th, Wednesday. I didn't sleep brilliantly, perhaps a little concerned about the mini quiches and my guesswork. Anthony was pleased with his rehearsals for the song, though, and slept like a particularly obstinate log. After breakfast, Mr. Melanie arrived, in a suit, no less, and we loaded the food flat into the back of his van.
That should be fine, just there.
Are you sure there isn't a little more we can do to keep the tray steady, Mr. Melanie?
I think they're pretty wedged in, Mr. Trench.
I've had a look at the route. There are one or two hills that worry me a little.
Yeah, I appreciate your concern, but I don't think there's much more we can do. Look, pretty secure.
Please be careful. Oh, no, that seems to be fine.
Unless you want to travel in the back and keep them in place.
No, that won't be necessary. Or should I?
They'll be fine. You've got to relax about this.
Okay, then, I think that's that. Are you ready to go, Anthony?
Yes.
Your suit looks nice.
Thank you. I've got hankies, got the backing track for my song. Business cards. Right, hang on a second.
Business cards. Now who's treating it like a trade fair? It's unbelievable.
I'll be in the van.
Wait. Oh, Hello.
Hello, is that Mr. Damien Trench?
Yes, speaking.
Hello, my name's Police Constable Durrant. I'm calling from West End Central Police Station.
Oh?
Do you know a Mr. Ian Frobisher?
I do, yes. What's happened? Is he all right?
He is, yes. He's with us now, but he needs someone to come and collect him.
What's he done?
I'm afraid he's in a bit of a state. We were called to a branch of Paper Chase where he was behaving oddly and we've had to take him in. He's not going to be charged, but we feel he should be with someone he knows.
I see. Right, it's just I'm literally about to set off for a funeral. Couldn't somebody else...
I appreciate that, sir, but yours is the only name he's given. If you can't collect him, we'll need to keep him in, and those cells really could be better used.
Yes, well, I appreciate that. Where is Ant? Yep. Will we have time to go via a police station? It's Ian, my literary agent.
Yeah, I remember Ian.
Well, would that be okay?
It'll have to be quick. What's he done?
I don't know. Something in Paper Chase.
It's your funeral.
Well, it's... that is fine. We can make the detour. It's not ideal by any stretch trying to convey 480 mini quiches to a crematorium in Margate.
Right, sir. Thank you.
Well, I never thought the day would come when a man as collected, focused and in control as Ian would need to be rescued from a police station. Thank heavens no charges were to be pressed. Mr. Mullaney, who seems to have an uncanny knowledge of central London police stations, absolutely floored it there. There was no parking to be found, of course, so Anthony and I went into the station and Mr. Mullaney kept driving the van and the mini quiches around the block. I told the desk sergeant who I was there to collect, showed him some identification, and Ian was brought from a cell. He was absolutely covered in glitter.
Oh, Damien, thank you.
Oh. No problem.
Hello, Anthony.
Yes, Ian.
Come here. Oh,
yes, we're in a bit of a hurry out.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Damien. I've been... Oh, I don't know. Oh, I've got glitter on you.
No, it's fine. It'll... No, I'm sure it'll brush off.
What have I done with my life?
Look, we really...
I spent too much time on my clients... Oh, no offence, Damien.
None taken, Ian, none taken.
And not enough on my friends, and myself even. Louise, certainly. I thought a day at the zoo would be the rest I needed, but in the end, well, I started to get depressed about how little I knew about animals. I've even neglected them.
It's fine, don't be angry with yourself.
Is there any way I could come and stay with you for a little bit, just to get myself sorted out?
Well, we've actually got to go to a funeral today.
Why don't I come with you? It would be good to be around people.
Well, I do...
Anthony, he'll have to come.
Okay, yeah, yes, you'll have to travel in the back of the van.
Oh, well, that sounds fun already.
We'll be sharing it with 480 mini quiches, a leaf salad and a thermos of vinaigrette.
I see. Well, I'm sure we'll get on like a house on fire.
Right, come on, we need to move.
Yes, we do need to get a bit of a shift on, actually.
Okay. Oh, hold up.
What is it now?
I'm just going to give the desk sergeant a hug. He's been so nice.
Oh, for goodness.
Roland, where are you?
Anthony rang his sister to explain that we'd been delayed a little and to assess the lay of the land. The reception would be held in a school hall, only 5 minutes from the crematorium itself, and so we'd have to drop the food off there before the service. And then I'd have to miss the end of the service to dash back and lay it all out properly before the mourners arrived. It was going to be tight, but not impossible. We reached the school at a little after 2:30, where Anthony's father and sister were waiting for us.
Hello, Damien.
Where's the food?
It's just in the back, with my literary agent.
How many people have you brought with you, and why are you all... Is that glitter?
Look, things haven't gone totally to plan. Mr. Mullaney, can you...
Yeah, come on, sorry. There's a bit of a knack to it. There. Sometimes it opens easily.
Ian?
What? Hello, Damien. I must have fallen asleep. But then again, I did spend all night walking. Oh, hello, everyone.
Yes, sorry, Dad. This is Damien's agent, Ian. He's going to be staying with us for... a little while, it seems.
How do you do?
This is my sister, Gemma.
Hi. Is this all the food?
That's right.
Well, are there no sandwiches?
Well, no, I thought the mini quiches would be a little bit more...
Let's just get them inside.
You're set for your song, Anthony.
Yes, I've got the backing track on a CD.
Splendid. She really did love that song, you know.
We quickly unloaded the food, and I just had time to arrange the cards describing the various mini quiches and underlining any ingredients that might provoke allergic reactions. All that I needed to do before the service was over was nip back, mix the dressing for the salad, and then remove the cling film. And then Anthony and his father and his sister and Mr. Mullaney and Ian and I put on our jackets, straightened our ties, and walked to Aunt Fiona's funeral. The crematorium was very full indeed. 150 people by my estimate, which was going to take us down to 3 mini quiches per head. Anthony, his father and sister had sat at the front. Ian and Mullaney stood at the back, and I did too, anxious to cause as little disruption as possible when it was time for me to nip off and make ready the food. Undertakers carried in the coffin and placed it at the front of the crematorium. Then Aunt Fiona's minister welcomed us all. He looked, as so many clergy do, absolutely shattered. But he was warm and sincere, and most importantly, was in control. After the first hymn, How Great Thou Art, a lovely choice, Gemma read, rather beautifully it must be said, from Corinthians.
For the perishable body must put on unperishability, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable...
Anthony's father also read.
When of forced air of solemnity or sorrow, laugh as we always laughed at the little jokes we always enjoyed together.
He is, I think it's fair to say, not a great one for showing emotion, unlike Ian, down whose face silent tears continued to stream. Mr. Mullaney was kind enough to lend Ian a packet of Handy Andies during the second hymn. Looking at the order of service, I reckoned that the best moment for me to slip away was after the eulogy, but Anthony was yet to sing and I was loath to miss it. I just had to hope that his song would be before the prayers. It was not to be, and so I stood through prayers of thanksgiving for those who mourn, prayers of penitence, and then a prayer for readiness to live in the longest of eternity, all the while fretting about my salad dressing.
And now... before we commend Fiona to God, we are going to hear one of her favourite pieces of music, which will be sung for us by her nephew, Anthony, whose voice she always loved.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Yes, he's been refusing to tell me what it is. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. What is this?
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Seriously? You must know this.
I don't think so.
When hope was high.
Oh, God.
Life worth living.
Oh, God.
Ian? Are you...
I dreamed
Ian?
That love would
oh,
never
God.
Die.
Ian, are you... Could we just...
So beautiful.
God would be forgiven.
I love this song so much.
Then I was young and
just wonderful.
Unafraid.
Yes, well, I don't know it, to be perfectly honest, but yes, it seems...
When dreams were made...
Seems very nice indeed.
And used and wasted.
It's a prostitute's howl of lament.
There was...
It's from Les Miserables.
Right.
Where's Aunt Fiona? Your wonderful woman.
I'm not sure
your
I ever met her.
She sounded just wonderful. Please hold me.
I am.
Tighter.
Tigers.
Okay.
Mr. Trench, don't you need to leave for the...
Psst.
salad dressing.
The vinaigrette. Gosh. Oh, yes. Look, would you mind hugging Ian?
Yeah, that's fine. Here, come on. Hurry. There we are. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Mullaney.
Let it all out. All right. I know.
I felt a little guilty leaving Mr. Mullaney in sole charge of Ian, but I had made certain promises, and so I dashed off to the school hall where I found the trays of mini quiches exactly as we had left them. Mr. Mullaney and Ian were the first to reach the school hall, although Ian rushed straight off to make use of the facilities. Mr. Mullaney offered to help, laying out the glasses and quickly set out a few more chairs and tables. Ian then emerged from the facilities, a changed man. He had dried his eyes, arranged his hair, and said, with all sincerity, that he was incredibly grateful that we'd brought him here with us today, and that sometimes all we need, all we really need, is a big cry. I stand at the back of the hall behind the food table, as Ian and Mr. Mullaney do behind the wine table, and watch as mourners arrive, sometimes in pairs, sometimes alone. People acknowledge each other nervously. Others introduce themselves and try to explain the part this lady has played in their life, and she in theirs. Soon the hall is filled, and people who have all been silent together for an hour are all talking. There are more hugs and more tears, but there are also smiles and there is laughter. A number of people cross the room to tell Anthony how much they enjoyed his singing. He looks over at me and smiles, and I smile back. It's at moments like this, just after a funeral, that you can hear everybody suddenly breathe again. And I have to say, the mini quiches went down a storm. Rest in peace, Aunt Fiona.
I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living, so different now from what it seemed. Now life has killed the dream I dream.
In and Out of the Kitchen was written by Miles Jupp and starred Miles Jupp and Justin Edwards, with Priyanga Burford, Brendan Dempsey, Philip Fox and David Seddon. The producer was Sam Michel.
You have to stop it. Turn the CD off because it's part of a... It'll go on to Master of the House. That's not... It's not really, I don't know half the words.